Do you like apples? Yes? You do like apples? Okay, well, for everything, there is an appointed time, Ecclesiastes 3:1. How do you like them apples? Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything, there is an appointed time. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. You're at the Revelation series. This begins another week of the Revelation series, and I'm in a series within the series called The Final Years of Millennium 6, which will be a concise accounting of the times of God and how near we are to the dawn of the millennial kingdom promised by God to Abraham, the pattern of which God's times were set up at the beginning of the creation of humanity in the Garden of Eden, which was in Mesopotamia, by the way. And Adam was probably in the garden for 3.5 years, which corresponds to the 3.5 years of the public ministry of Christ. Both events, these events were 4,000 years apart exactly. Adam was the first human, Christ the last human. Christ was the perfect human. Adam was the type of Christ. Adam had 3.5 years in the garden. Jesus Christ was 3.5 years at as his public ministry. Adam, quote, died, unquote. He tasted death. He became mortal after 3.5 years, entered the death process. Jesus Christ died after the 3.5 years of his public ministry. The first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam's death was followed by 4 watches of the night, 4 days, which is 4,000 years. And then came the light. Christ dawned on humanity. And he came exactly 4,000 years to the day after Adam. It's amazing chronology, amazing synchronization. And it's true, because for everything there is an appointed time. And there were people who knew when Jesus Christ would appear, because they knew the times as prophesied by Daniel, the 69 sevens, when Messiah would be cut off following the announcement by Nehemiah of the rebuilding of the temple. I'm no math whiz, as I have told you. Other people are. They have calculated it to the day. And also, what do you know? There was a sign in the heavens that brought 3 magi, 3 brilliant men from the east, to find the birth of a great king. And God also put stars in the heavens for times and for seasons to tell us things that we're supposed to know. And yet I'm still told that we're not supposed to know. We're not supposed to know the end times, Martin. We're not supposed to have an idea of where we are in human history. And the reason they're giving for this is because so many people have been wrong in the past. I told you, there's a reason all these people were wrong in the past. They miscalculated the time from Adam. It's that simple. As soon as 6,000 years from Adam comes, then that's the end. And if it's not 6,000 years from Adam, you're going to be wrong every time. If it's 1555, you're going to be wrong. If it's 1986, you're going to be wrong. If it's 70 AD, you're going to be wrong. But the year of the 6,000 years from Adam, whoever declares that year, and I don't care if it's a kindergartner, I don't care if it's a guy working at the gas station, he's going to be right. It's that simple. That's why all these predictions were wrong. No matter how many things you base it on, if you're not 6,000 years from Adam, you're wrong. If you are 6,000 years from Adam, you're right. And I'm going to show you the pattern of the week. I'm going to show you the Jubilee years. I'm going to give you the Rosetta Stone verses, Psalm 90, verse 4, 2 Peter 3:8. And we're going to see this divine confluence that points to now. We are in the final years of Millennium 6. Forget AD, forget BC. Embrace FA. For everything, there's an appointed time. Ecclesiastes 3:1. For everything. I'm going to be drawing heavily from this basically unknown book, Chronology in a Chronology of the Bible by F.H. Bader. You can get this book on Amazon.com. Bader, again, was a fan of A.E. Knox and the Concordant Version. But he thought maybe the Concordant Version wasn't consistent enough. And in some places, it's not. And so he made it more consistent, and he made a scripture translation called the RIT, otherwise known as the Devar Translation, which I promoted. You can go to that if you want to know how to get it. I don't know if there are any. Last I heard, this book was being distributed by a guy in Canada. This is so low-key, which is why I love it. Nobody knows this book exists, which is why I love it. I'm the only one like who is promoting the Dvar translation. So much so that they sold this guy, Art Kerber, in Canada, sold out of the Hebrew scriptures of the Dvar translation because of me. And I think there are still copies of the New Testament left. The weird thing is you can't buy this book. You can't pay for it. Kerber refuses money. He just says, write me. And I don't know if there are any left. Go to that show. Go to YouTube. Type in Martin Zender, Secrets in Daniel, Part 50. And somewhere, I think either 49 or show 50, I talk about Art Kerber. And I talk about the Dvar translation, which was done up by F.H. Bader, who was a German guy, who was also a scientist, a mathematician. Like, my God, this guy is very in-depth and very good. And I like the fact that nobody knows he exists. And yet his work is important. It's certified. It's verifiable. And just like A.E. Knox said, check up on me. Don't believe anything I tell you. And the spirit wind of Elohim vibrated over the face of the waters. That's Genesis 1:2 from the Dvar translation, the writ. And the spirit wind of Elohim vibrated over the face of the waters. The spirit that gives the impulses is represented in Genesis 1:2. As a vibrating one. And the Concordant version here says, and the Spirit of God vibrated over the waters. So vibrated is a good word. We know that light consists of vibrations. And we know that the Beach Boys knew that there were bad vibrations and good vibrations. He is a spirit wind. And from the very beginning, he is the head who, by vibrating, produces oscillations and impulses. Science knows that light and sound consists of oscillations and impulses at different lengths. The waves of the impulses or oscillations go at different lengths. Thus, the different parts of the spectrum of light, different stations on your FM radio dial, different stations on your AM radio dial. And these impulses were decisive. They began things. They were boom, 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 a steady pulse from God for the duration of his times. These wavelengths and the amplitudes, different wavelengths, defined the cycles and determined the courses toward God's aiming place. God is aiming for something. There's a purpose of the eons. That's Ephesians 2:2, I think. There's a purpose. God is aiming at something. And to get there, his energy, which is spirit, it's like pulsates like light and like sound. Some of it you can't see. Most of it you can't see. The visible spectrum of light is very small. Same with sound. Dogs can hear very high pitches of sound that we can't hear. We need receivers to pick up even the sound that we're allowed to pick up. Who knows what kind of vibrations there are way beyond in the mind, in the realm of God, that we don't know. But I think the point that Bader is making here is that these oscillations or impulses are regular and that God is constantly doing something. And it comes in cycles. That's the key. It's cycles. Wavelengths are cycles of sound that keep coming over and over and over again. And God's seasons are, by some accounts, tedious. The days he set up come one after the other, 365 in a year, boom, boom, over and over again. The hours, ta-doom, the minutes, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Somebody just wrote me and said something that, I'm sorry, to me seemed ridiculous, that how can you be talking about time? How can you be talking about, you would say today, impulses or vibrations or wavelengths or God vibrating at the dawn of creation? How can you speak of that when God himself is timeless? This is how I can, because God has condescended to speak to us in time. He created time. Jesus Christ created the eons. Hebrews 1:3, the eons were created by Christ, this five-chunk calendar, five chunks of time. God's calendar were created by Christ as a framework for God to reveal himself. It's all condescension, folks. I know God lives in a timeless realm. Just the fact that lives is contradistinctive. You can't say lives in a timeless realm because lives and timeless are opposite terms. They don't agree with each other. They clash. They're like two trains crashing in the night on the same track. But God condescends to speak to us in seasons, in times, in years. At the appointed time, Jesus Christ came. At everything according to... Look, I'm quoting Solomon here, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. For everything, there is an appointed time. So this person who wrote me saying that, how you're a fool to think or speak in terms of time. Then Solomon's a fool. And Jesus Christ was a fool who said that... Near is the kingdom of the heavens. Near. What is that but a time phrase? A time word. Jesus Christ himself spoke of seasons. He says, no man knows the hour or the day. What are those? I guess Jesus Christ was foolish to speak to us in terms of time. But alas, my friends, it is not foolish. This is the wisdom of God. To come through these vibrations and oscillations. This is scientific. And true science will agree with Scripture every time. These are mathematically ordered rhythms. True math, true science will agree with Scripture and are godlike. In mathematically ordered rhythms, the Spirit leads together the individual beings in this creation in a choir-like manner, and thus it's harmonious. A choir-like manner. I would go far as to say a dance-like manner. God and Christ are the great choreographers. They choreograph time, and they choreograph the beings on this planet who are subjected to time. Ephesians 1:11, God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his own will, both time and space. Space speaking of where people stand, not outer space, but where you are. You are here. You are here at this time. You are here at this time. Time and space. It's all mathematically perfect. The timing is perfect. And the events of your life are just as perfect as the timing I'm going to be showing you. And then people tell me we're not supposed to know? No, this is a gift of God. He's giving us a gift wrapped in a red bow that we are supposed to know. And it's supposed to bring us comfort and joy, especially us. How would you like to find this information in 1555? Oh, geez. We got 500 years to go. That'd be rough. It'd be rough, a little rough. It'd be true, though. You just have to deal with it. The disciples in Jesus' day, they just had to deal with the fact that the kingdom was going away into the unforeseen future. It was near at the time, but nobody was aware of the secret administration of Paul that would take up an indistinct period of time. We still don't know how long that time is. It's about 2,000 years. I say about because no one knows the date of the snatching away. Even the season. Israel has time pegs. Seasons, the moon, the sun, the months, the years, the millennia. Israel has that. The body of Christ, we could go at any time. But your times, the times of your life is what I'm telling you to comfort you, are just as perfect as the chronological time and the seasons and the revolutions, the sun and the moon and the earth and all the little planets around the earth. It's all choreographed by a master choreographer who has planned the day of your birth, the time of your birth, what moon you were born under, the arrangement of the stars you were born under. Yes, the signs of the zodiac are real. God put them there. Look at Bullinger's book, Witness of the Stars. All real, it's all true, and it's all divinely choreographed to the day, to the hour, to the minute, to the nanosecond. Just because we don't know the nanosecond doesn't mean there isn't a nanosecond. There is. Both for the time of Israel's fulfillment, the fulfillment of Israel's promise, and for the time of the fulfillment of the promises made to us by our apostle, the Apostle Paul. It's a great time to be alive. So fight. Fight. Don't lie down now. Don't give up now. You want to see what's coming up.